Corinthians. If you do a word study, I think read how many times is the word glory mentioned in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. It's amazing. Somebody said possibly maybe 29 times that the word glory or glorious is mentioned. And I want you to just think about this, that of all the churches, that word glory is mentioned, and I believe it's there for a reason. You know, that Paul talks about the glory of glorifying God, and I want you to understand that the Corinthian church was probably one of the most gifted church. It had all the gifts of the Spirit, but also it was a dark place. I mean, Corinthians, you ever do a study on the historical background, the temple of the prostitutes? It was a dark place. I mean, the immorality was rampant, but God brought this church into existence. And this was the stage. God says, here, I'm going to give an opportunity for this Corinthian church in a dark and immoral world to glorify God. And you think about this, that we have been given the opportunities to glorify God even wherever it is. Sometimes in the darkest places. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Go ahead and turn to Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we see that Paul talks about the glory of the Lord, and let me just share with you in 2 Corinthians, this is the beginning of several passages that I want to share from Corinthians, but Paul says in chapter 4, verse 6, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So when we see this, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. When you think about darkness, the Corinthians was a dark place, but God's light was shining through the Corinthian church. Or God wanted his light to shine. And just as he does in every city, God wants his light and through the believers. And so we understand, here's the problem that in glorifying God, a lot of the folks they were glorying, rather than glorying in God, they were glorying in many other things, right? I mean, some would glory, "I can speak in tongues," or others would glory, "I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I was baptized by him." And so understanding that their focus was on so many other things that Paul had to bring them back. Hey, it's all about glorifying God. It's not glorifying yourself or glorifying what you can do, but what you can do for the kingdom of God. And so one of the problems that happens in churches is we tend to focus inwardly. We focus on ourselves rather than focusing on others. We need to be kingdom builders. And that's what I love about your pastor. He's a kingdom builder. He's trying to say, what can we do to let the light shine in our community? And thank God for what he's doing. This church is doing through the many other ministries, whether it be through the soup kitchen or through the other homes that you all have started. It is about glorifying God. That's understanding that oftentimes we need to get back to glorifying God. And so as we look on this subject of glorifying God, there's some lessons that we need to learn, because Paul says apparently you all haven't been learning the lessons very well. There's some problems that keep arising. So I want to bring you back to do a Bible study. So there's some lessons that we need to learn about glorifying God. And so if you go ahead and turn to, let me see, we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. So go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 through 4. And listen what Paul says. "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And now we're baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank of the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that was the rock was Christ. Well, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now all these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So let me just stop right there and to emphasize what Paul says. Now, all these things that I've been talking to you about, what I've shared with you about their experience, and Paul says these were written for our examples. So think about this. Paul says the Old Testament believers, that the glory of God was with them. It says they were baptized, they drank of the same rock. And when we think about the other scriptures that pertain in Exodus, that's in Exodus 40, verse 34, when we think about the glory of God, the glory of God was in the cloud. Remember when Moses would go into the tent and the cloud would come down and the glory rested? So the glory of God was with the people. The glory of God rested and remained in the midst of the tent. Remember when they set up camp? There the tabernacle was in the midst. And so the glory of God was in the cloud. It was so bright, so there was the cloud, and that it rested in the tabernacle. But we see that as it remained and rested in the tabernacle, the time came when the glory of God says, I will no longer be in the midst of the people because of your actions, because of your behavior. And so what happened is that Moses pitched the tent outside the tent. And so Moses would go outside, and when the people would look, and Moses would go, and the cloud would come down once again. But we see that the glory that at one time had rested in the midst of God's people was removed. Now, the glory of God wasn't removed permanently. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. Let me see. Nehemiah, does anybody have it yet? Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. If you do, go ahead and read it, because I'm still having problems finding it, okay? Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. That is in the Old Testament, right, Jimmy? Nehemiah? Okay. Thank you for finding that. Did you all hear that? Man, that was good. I love that. It says, and let me read once again what he said. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but they hardened their necks. And in the rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in mercy and abundant in kindness. And you did not forsake them. So you see that the people, though, they were not following God. So let's keep in mind 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says the glory of God was there with the people. They were baptized. They drank of the rock, which was Christ Jesus. They had the glory, but God was not pleased because of their behavior, but because of their hardened hearts. And God says, yet I'm not going to disown you. I will still take your descendants to the promised land. God was still faithful. And the thing about that is, I want you to see that God is a merciful God, but also God is a just God. He's a holy God. So we need to keep all the attributes of God in perspective, okay? But we see there's lessons to be learned. And one of the things that Nehemiah says, you hardened your heart. Now, folks, let me just share with you about the glory of God. And understand that the glory of God rests in us because Jesus Christ is the King of glory. He is the glory. If you have Christ in you, the glory of God is within you through Jesus Christ. But hear me now. As the people who had God's presence there in the Old Testament, that they harden their hearts. Now remember what the writer of Hebrews chapter 3 says, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. You see, one of the problems that we have as Christians, it is simply that we have been saved by God's grace, and if we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's conviction in our lives. Grieve not, quench not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is jealous. When God bought you through the blood of Jesus Christ, know you not that you don't belong to yourself, but now He's drawing you. Hey, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is wanting to draw you to love Jesus Christ. And so we see that one of the things that we need to be careful is don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. So one of the lessons that we need to learn. And we see later on that, go back with me into 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And so he says, brethren, he says, now these things, verse 6 says, now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after all these things as they also lusted. When he says these are for examples, listen, we need to learn from the Old Testament saints. What they did wrong, you don't do it. Let me share with you. Anybody studying to be a doctor or anything like that here? No? Just imagine you was going to one of the universities and the doctor's there operating. Maybe there's some of the students, they're in training, whether it be through internship. And so there, you're there to observe the doctor. You're there to see, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. Because one day, you're going to be the doctor, and that person's life is going to be in your hands. So you see, you're there observing what to do, what not to do. And what Paul says, listen, we are observing the scriptures of what to do, what not to do. And so we understand that there are lessons to be learned from glorifying God. So I shared the basics of that. Now let me just share with you the lifestyle. I want to share with you of living a lifestyle of glorifying God. So let's look at this lifestyle of glorifying God. So go back with me. Let me see. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember that when Moses went up to the mountain, he came down from the mountain, and the law of God was written down on tablets. And as Moses came down, guess what happened? People looked. Man, there was just the glory of the Lord shone on Moses' face. Man, it was bright. So what Paul says, if what was there in the Old Testament was glorious, how much more glorious is what we have in Jesus Christ? You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, verse 2, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink by the Spirit of the living, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And such we have trust through Christ toward God. So let me talk to you about the lifestyle of glorifying God. As you look at the Old Testament, what Moses had was glorious. There was the glory. When he wrote down the law, it was written down. But Paul says what we have is more glorious. You see, what Moses had was just temporal. It was just temporary. I think in verse 8 it says that Moses had to put the veil on. Why? Because the glory was fading. understanding it was bright at the very beginning, but Moses put it on because it was fading, just like the Old Testament. It was just temporary until the grace would come. And so as we think about this, that what we have, Paul is saying the contrast, what we have is far better than the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the glory was temporary, but this is eternal. This is something. Think about this, that when you receive Jesus Christ, that God is wanting to put His words in you, that you might be able to live for His glory. It's not written on, listen, it's not written on tablets, but it's written on hearts. And that's why do not harden your heart. Because if you do, it's going to be hard for God to work on you. Years ago, when I was a teenager, we were going down to Texas. There was a sign that I always remembered. It said, "It's easier for God to work with clay than it is to chisel stone." Clay is pliable. Maybe when you got a chisel, it's going to be more time consuming. It's going to be a lot easier on you if you are pliable. Don't harden your heart. Be sensitive to the God's convicting you in your own personal life. And so we see that this glory that we have. Verse 8, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 8. "How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory." So we see that the glory in the New Testament is far better. So we understand the glory was bestowed upon believers through Jesus Christ. The glory has been bestowed by believing that Jesus is our glorious Savior and He wants to change us from the inside out. But that's just the beginning. See, the lifestyle of glorifying God is not just the glory bestowed upon you, but also the glory needs to be beheld by you. What are you talking about? Well, turn to verse 18, 2 Corinthians 3. I think it's in chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror of the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Hey, here's the glory was bestowed upon you when you received Jesus Christ. But now you have a responsibility. The lifestyle of glorifying God is you got to get into the Word of God, so that the Word of God can get in you. And you see, we have to behold the glory. Get into the Word of God. Maybe you're not living the way God wants you to live. And this is why Paul says, look at our lives in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at our ministries. Examine our ministries. Look at my character. Look at my conduct. It's important. Your behavior is important. Though you are a believer, you need to live in a Christ-like manner. That's why he says, when you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, or 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So we have to behold the glory by getting into God's Word. So what you're going to do in a few minutes, you're going to be beholding the glory of God. How am I going to do that? You're going to get into God's Word. And you're going to see, what's the Holy Spirit telling me? Well, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. As I've already stated, all these things, verse 6, were for our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things that they lusted. So as we behold the glory of God, if you want to reveal the glory of God in your life, it comes through your behavior. How are you going to behave? So let's look. Here's what they did wrong. They lusted. They lusted after many things. After the things of Egypt. They became idolaters. As some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and to rose up to play. These are the things. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and they were destroyed by serpents, nor complain, and as some of them complain, for they were were destroyed by the destroyer. So right there we see, as we behold the glory of God, we see God's word. Okay, am I doing something that is not Christ-like? Now, folks, I want you to understand that we are all on a different level. I was saved, when I was saved in 1979, I was raised up in the Catholic Church. My mom would take me to Catholic. I took catechism, all these things, you know. But I believed in God, but, you know, as James says, you believe in God, you do well. But the devils also believe and tremble. Believing is just not simply having this intellectual belief that God exists. He has to be reigning in your life. And so understanding that when I got saved, my lifestyle was one from at a very young age, from maybe about 10 year old, my family, we were drinking by, you know, at 10 year old. And so my lifestyle was one of alcohol. Then it was more into the drugs. And because of what my dad had around the house, it was pornography. So my life was just basically very immoral, not very Christ-like. But, you know, when Christ saved me, that I understood there was something happened in my life. There had to be some changes. And so when I first got saved, I was still trying to be friends with my buddies, you know, that still drank. And I went there and said, hey, you had to have a beer. And, you know, I took it and I said, man, I just can't do this. And so I realized that, you know, God had been changing me. I understand, listen, folks, that when God saves you, that sometimes it's an instantaneous change. On some other things, God still has to work on you. Do you agree that God's still working on you? I mean, we're all a work in progress, are we not? Hey, we need to be patient with others, because some are young Christians. Those of you that are mature, hey, man, just, you know, we all make mistakes. So let me read to you a story. There was a true story about a pastor. Said, really spoke to me. Says, one Sunday at a church I served as pastor, a woman named Ann showed up. From the start, you could tell she had lived a hard life. Ann explained to our greeters that she was a recovering heroin addict, which you could see by the needles, streaks, and the scars of her arms that gave witness. And so some of the people at the rehab had encouraged to add religion to her life, because it would maybe help her to not relapse. Maybe you just need some religion. Well, on her way to the worship service, Ann dropped her two boys off at the nursery. And when she returned after the service, a woman named Jane broke some bad news to her. During the service, Ann's two boys had gotten into fights with several of the other children and broke several of the toys. Humbly, Jane said to Ann, you know, that's just don't worry about this. But impulsively, Ann responded by screaming, oh, I ain't gonna say it, okay? We're in God's house. Oh, you know, whatever. So, and there was a lot of parents. It was quiet. Where did that come from? And so she left with a red face, embarrassed. Man, I'm never going to come back after what I said. Everybody knows what I said. So this nursery worker had an idea. She wrote a letter to her. It says, Dear Ann, it's me, Jane, from the nursery at church on Sunday. I'm running first to let you know that all is well at church, no harm done, and the broken toys, no problem. We need to replace so many of them anyway. What I really do want to do, Ann, is thank you. Thank you for the way that you wore your heart on your sleeve that Sunday. That meant a lot to me, because I am often tempted to hide the messy things that agitate my life. Thank you for being willing to be honest. Your courage to be honest got me thinking. What better place to be honest than at church? You reminded me that Jesus invites us all to come to him raw and real, and to do that together and never alone. And I hope to see you again. Again, more than this, I hope we can become friends. So what happened in the rest of the story? She came back. 2 years later, she was working in the nursery. Now, understanding that she went back into the life of addiction. But to understand the church was there, understanding that we're all at different levels, but understanding that God is wanting to bring us back and to reveal His glory through our lives. And so we see that the glory was bestowed through Jesus Christ, but also the glory becoming. Go back with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. The glory becoming. And it says, but we all, verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror of the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So understanding that we are being changed as the glory of Jesus Christ came into our lives from glory to glory. There's a glorious change. There's a gradual change. These changes are going to be slow. It's not going to be instantaneous. Some things that we can give up real easy. I had no problems giving up alcohol. You know, that was just cigarettes. That was not, those things, there's some other things I had problems with. God had to work on my life. But understanding, if the glory is going to be revealed, then we must want to say, God, above all things, I just want to glorify you. The lifestyle of glorifying God, let me just share four things and I'll close. If we are going to glorify God, let me share with you a scripture. Let me see if I wrote it down. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, go ahead. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Let me just share with you. Four things. To live a lifestyle of glorifying God, number one, you must make that decision. Therefore, whatever you do, whatever you're going to do in life, you must make this, number one, a decision to say, God, I want to glorify you. A decision that you have to make every day. I die daily that Jesus Christ might live. And one of the things that in this decision is simply you're saying, God, I'm giving up my rights. But guess what? When you give up your rights, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are broken, we are cast down. Understanding sometimes when you give up your rights and God, this is not what I planned for, but you know what? All glory to you because you know what's best. Because in my brokenness, guess what? In my brokenness, the glory of God is not only revealed, but the glory of God is released. In our brokenness, sometimes, hey, I used to be single one time, and I was, oh man, that's the girl I want to marry. She is pretty. Oh, that's the one. It didn't work out that way. God had someone far better. Number one, a lifestyle of glorifying God is you need to make a decision. Say, God, whatever, help me to make good decisions. But also, there has to be that desire. Secondly, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. You must want to have a desire to glorify God above all things in your life. You continue on with that. Look at, as you read verse 31, read verse 32. And he says, give no offense either to the Jews, nor to the Greeks, nor to the church of God. You have to use discretion. That whatever you do, wherever you're at, give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks. See, when I was saved, understanding people always be watching you. They may not understand what God's doing in your life. Like I told you that I was raised up in an alcoholic family. My dad was an alcoholic. Many times when I got saved in 1979, and my dad would go to the bar. Sometimes he'd go Fridays, wouldn't come back to Sundays. But sometimes when he'd call Saturday evenings, he'd call at the house. He said, He said, I need to ride. You know, he didn't want to drive drunk, driving out of a vehicle. So my mom would say, go get your dad. So I'd be going to the bar, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. I'd go in there, Dad, let's go. And I would do this, you know, quite often just because I didn't want him to be in a wreck. Well, I think one Sunday afternoon, Dad was drinking, and I went in the bar to get him. And one of the church members, they said, you know, he didn't tell me right that I shouldn't be in bars, but he said, you know, the Bible says we need to abstain from all appearances of evil. Now, he didn't understand that I was there not to drink, but to get my dad out. Understand, sometimes people don't understand your motives. And so, but use discretion in life. There's decisions that you need to make that is simply, I want to glorify God. You've got to have the desire. Have a discretion. Some places, maybe, let me share with you. For people that are recovering addicts, you got to be careful. I had, when I went to Clear Creek Bible College, one of the fellows that graduated from Clear Creek went down to Southwestern, and he was an addict, and he'd recovered, but he started ministering on the streets, and guess what happened? Man, he got pulled into that. You got to understand, if you got some weaknesses, man, there's some things that you, you know, as I said, my life was bombarded by pornography, and that's why, you know, I just don't watch R-rated movies. All it takes is just one thing to slowly get you back. And you got to be careful. Use discretion in your life. Do you want to glorify God? You got to, hey, listen, man. You got to be willing to say, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to glorify you. But also, not only discretion, but also you got to defer. Verse 33, it says, also, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul says, you know what? I've got my rights, but I willingly give up my rights that I might be able to win some. So understanding, there are lessons to be learned about glorifying God. The people of Israel, they slowly went back into the ways that they saw. So we understand we've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's working in our life. The lifestyle that we live, let me tell you folks, what a great way to glorify God here in Huntington. That when you can live different than from the rest of the young people, to know that God, my desire is to glorify you wherever I'm at, whether it be at college or at work or wherever. So understanding that if you will make this choice to live for Him and to glorify Him, that in darkness, in those dark moments, places, that God will be glorified. So there is this lifestyle, but the liberty that we've been given is found in Jesus Christ. Folks, I want you to understand, we all are sinners saved by grace, but God is working in us, but also that God wants to work through us. Maybe you can be that light. Maybe that you're the one that can lead somebody else that is facing some issues that you need to be praying for. But you need to be sensitive to who God is bringing into your life and to understand that God is wanting to bring glory through you. So let me encourage you as we take this time of invitation. Let me ask you if you would just bow your heads with me and just take this time. And first of all, let me ask you the question. Do you want to glorify God as a believer? Is this the decision that you want to make? To know, God, I want that. But Lord, help me. It is God, the Bible says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So understanding, God, help me change my desires, that I might have a desire to glorify You in my life. And Lord, help me to be patient with that. Understanding that some things don't always work my way, but Lord, I want You to be glorified through my life. So as we take time, first of all, to understand the glory of God rested upon Moses for a short time, but the glory of God resides within us because of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you the question. Have you come to that place in your life that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? In John 1, verse 14, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son of God, that Jesus Christ came to glorify God by dying on the cross, by taking your sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might have the righteousness of God in our lives. See, you can't glorify God by your good works. Your good works will never please God. As the Bible says, we're not saved by our good works. We're saved by faith we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And as you give your life to Lord Jesus Christ this evening, if you've never have, first of all, to know that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes he's putting your trust in him, that God wants to come into your life and to dwell within you and to also to help you to live a life pleasing to him. And so Paul says, and whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. If you will receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God will help you to live a life to glorify him. The second point is simply as believers that we've been called to live in a dark place to live for his glory. So let me ask you the question. Have you come to that place where you are surrendering yourself, dying daily? Say, Lord, help me to just live for your glory. And Lord, whatever it might be, to serve you, to humble myself, to put others before me and allow him to work in your life. Father, I thank you for this time in which you have just reminded us of your glory, but also of your coming glory, that one day as Jesus Christ comes back, Lord, that your glory will be seen throughout the world. And thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I pray that you will reside within your people here tonight. And I pray, Lord, that as we humbly come before you, Lord, there's some things that as we looked into the scriptures, maybe some things that we failed to look carefully into. But Holy Spirit, help us to examine ourselves through the Word of God, Lord, that we might lay aside those things that keep us from revealing Jesus Christ in our lives. Father, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can bring conviction. Lord, you're the only one that can draw people. As we see the sign, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Lord, we have to be willing to have that desire to make a decision. Lord, that's what I want in my life above all, that you'll be glorified. Lord, I pray right now during this invitation, Lord, that we humbly bow before you and allow you to have your way in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.